Hey everybody, welcome to the Christian Trail Bros podcast. We're on, I always forget the episodes, 14, episode 14. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. Welcome, welcome. Let me introduce Tulsa Man, aka William Kent.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. Best day ever.
Welcome to the podcast, Tulsa Man. And then we got Florida Man. Asher Hamlin.
St. Pete Man, man.
No, Florida, bro. St. Pete Man doesn't flow well. That doesn't roll off the tongue right.
All right, what about Tampa Man? Because I'm actually where I am right now.
Okay. I'll take
What's
it.
What's up, y'all? Happy to be here. Great day.
Can you introduce me, Billy?
Oh, snap. And we got Longview Man, the Longview Bandit. Briston Reigns as your host.
Yep. All right. Well, welcome, guys. Glad to see y'all again. I haven't talked to you, Billy, in 2 weeks since our last podcast. So
I've been off the map. I've been just working, living, whatever. I've been a recluse, though. I've, been hanging out with my girly friend.
Yeah, Billy's in love over there.
Bro, I'm telling you, when it's right, it's right. When the puzzle pieces fit. Dude, hold up. Let's just talk about that real quick. Signed up for the race. I mean, I've never had a girlfriend in my whole life out the gate. She's like, I'm signing up for the race and I'm going to run it. And I'm signing my son up. I'm like, what? So I'm like tripping. I'm like, oh, we got to get some good shoes. We got to get you guys right.
What distance did they sign up for?
20K.
Okay. That's the one to do.
I'm nervous. So I was like, you want me to run? She's like, nah, you run your race. I'll run mine. And I'm like, all right. Okay.
Well, that is exciting. Carly, you going to sign up for a race when I sign up? Oh, okay. She signed up for Asher's race, she said.
Yeah. Going down.
When is that? June?
June 1st, baby.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming.
June 1, man.
In Arkansas, Little Rock.
So am I hearing this right, Billy? You're going to be at the Chupacabra this weekend?
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. It's about to be a Christian Trail Bros reunion.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be there?
I'm going to be there, my friend.
Turnip? What's the loudest vegetable? The turnip?
Hey. Yep. I'll be at the Chupacabra 2024. I haven't missed one since its inception. So, Briston and I worked it out this morning. I figured, why would I stop now? Got to be there for the people.
Are you getting involved? Are you running? Or are you just...
I'm just going to be race duties, whatever Briston puts me on. I'm going to be there for helping you guys get through the turmoil, the pain. It's going to be a beautiful day, supposedly. So maybe not too much pain.
Yep.
Yeah, you can... Michael's running the 50. I'm excited to introduce him to Michael.
Now he is in there. We got a lot of people in the 50 mile, 46. That's the most I've ever seen in the 50 mile race.
Sheesh, that's a bunch of people. Golly.
Yeah, we're going to have like 30 gallons of water sitting out there on the course. We're probably going to have to refill it. So, But Ashley gets first class. He gets to fly out to the race from Florida. So,
I'm getting flown out. I'm getting pampered. And getting driven all the way to Quanah. Golly. It's a good life we're living.
Yep.
But family reunion. I'm staying with a bunch of guys that are doing your race at the hotel. We're meeting up for dinner if you guys want to meet up for dinner.
I know we were invited. It depends how busy we are. Friday night. You know how it is not before the race.
So. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be there. I'd be freaking out. Just
oh boy. Billy, so what you've been training for this 50K this weekend. You just got done doing this 50-mile race in West Texas. So, what in the world's going on with the training, man? So, like, you're doing this 50K. Like, what's your goal here?
Ooh, okay. So this is my new thing. You actually had a guy on who on the other podcast, what was that? What's it called?
Texas Outlaw Running Talk Show.
That thing. And there was a gentleman, he had kids and had family and stuff, and he runs what 200-mile races, 100-mile races. And his thing is, and a lot of people that I know in the ultra community, they run races and recover, and then their races are their training. And so that's kind of what I'm doing with this one. There's going to be five races altogether. And they're all a couple weeks apart, except for the last one, which is I'm probably switching it to 100 miles in Colorado. But like I haven't been putting any miles in at all really during the week. I put in maybe, I don't know, not little 5 mile runs and 6 mile runs, nothing major. And then on the weekends, I'll do something big. Like yesterday or Sunday, I did the Oklahoma City Marathon. And they called me and they asked me to pace it. And I was like, perfect. Well, a marathon to train for a 50K. Great.
Yes.
And so then that 50K to train for the 69 mile, I'm going to it. Don't hate me, but I will wear the gear that we talked about. But anyways, I'm going to that race, and then after that one will be the 100 miler. And Asher's race in the middle of it.
You're just using all these races for training, huh?
That's it. So
That's
like
awesome.
during the week, I just go to work and I don't really care about running during the week, like because that's when I get injuries. That's when I get stress fractures and stuff. 'Cause I'm like, I have to run. I have to. Like, I have to get my trainings. Strava. It's Strava. And it happens every time. I'm not meant to run 80, 100-mile weeks. I'm not freaking Jim Walmsley. I'm not like sponsored by all these people. I don't have the gear. I don't have the time. I don't have the food. I can't afford to eat like that, you know? So, and another person that I've noticed was Trevor Medding, who won the 100-miler that we put on that the Arbuckle 100.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that you're talking about that does 200-mile races and has like six girls. I think that's the same guy.
Right, sleeps in his car, blogs everything, blogs like all of it. And
Did you read his race report on the Arbuckle that you
yeah, it
put
was
on?
so cool.
How was his race report on it?
It was all well. It was good. I think
Good.
you sent him some pictures that he put on
No, I think he might have gotten them himself. Did he talk about the pizza being delivered to him at 2 a.m. on a side by side?
He didn't talk about the pizza. He didn't talk about the money. He did say I gave him a check at the end, but it was so cool to see his training, because his train he runs maybe 30 miles a week, and he does a 100 miler every 3 weeks.
Jeez. That's
And
incredible.
sleeps in his car. He's got kids at home. He just pulls up, goes to sleep, runs. And that there was a well, who was his name? Kim, I think his name was the
Yeah.
older
Yep.
gentleman. I think what he's 70 something.
Yeah, Kim, he's retired and all he does is go to a race every single weekend. So.
Yeah, didn't train during the week, doesn't do anything, just race, 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 race. That's what he's told me. He's like, it's party time. This is my fun time. You guys are at the bar on the weekends. I'm doing races.
Yeah, Kim's a cool guy. I love Kim. He's been like so many of our races, but it's crazy. Yeah, the dude's like 70, 80 years old, and he's just running all these 100 Ks, 100 miles. And he really appreciated your race because you had a 24-hour cutoff for the 100K, so or 30-hour. So he gave him plenty of time to run it. So, but anyways, so Billy, it sounds like your goal is you want to be a professional runner. Is that correct?
Oh man, Wouldn't that be something? I was actually talking to the shoe store, OK Runner here in Oklahoma. And some of the guys were like, you could run fast. And I was like, you could probably do some amazing stuff if you actually trained and didn't smoke cigarettes and didn't have a, you know, had like a coach or whatever and all these things. But I'm like, that just, it takes away the love for me. Like, I think it would take a it would take the heart out of it. Cause when I come to races, I'm like, yeah, best day ever. Yeah. Like, but if I'm sponsored by all these companies and I'm like, I have to pick these races and do all this special stuff. And like, I feel like I would be way more serious and way more like, it's almost like a pastor, of a church. Like, oh, when you just went to church, it was all right. But now you're a pastor of church. Now you're freaking out all the time. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I understand, Billy. I understand. Well, I'm excited for you though, and I'm glad you're not too injured. So it's always so good. Good thing, Asher. What in the world are you training for, dude?
Man, I'm still training for that mile. And I noticed yesterday, so I had my first threshold run implementing into this training block. And I noticed that my threshold does not exist at the moment. Or at least it's really low. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, for me, the miles there are like 6 minutes and under. And so, yeah, training for the mile, man, trying to run fast here in about a month. Try to dip under 440 would be nice, but we'll see. We're just doing it for fun.
What in the world? 440. Is that a world record or something? Hey, something that both of y'all have not mentioned is the Lanute in Dallas in July that we're doing our relay.
Oh, snap. I forgot about the Lanute.
We sign up for it. We got to put it on the calendar.
Bro, y'all are signed up. I signed y'all up. Y'all are signed up.
What? Hold up.
What's the date?
Daddy Reigns. Hold up.
Oh, it was funny. Billy texted me the other day. He said something about me. He called me daddy. I was like, I ain't your daddy. And he was like, no, you're about to be a daddy. I was like, oh. Anyways, yeah, y'all are signed up. July 26th, Friday, Dallas, Texas.
Ooh, it's on Friday?
Yeah, Friday night.
Oh, so what time does it start?
Starts at 7 p.m.
Ooh, great. I'll just leave work and pop right in there.
And worst case scenario, Billy, we can check you in. And if you're late, you can just start after we do our relay section.
Oh, snap. Oh, I'll get there. I'll make sure I'm there.
How far do you live from Dallas?
About 3 hours.
Oh, it's not bad.
No, I'm just kidding.
I already have done like both of our half. Well, yeah, I figure we run an hour and a half twice, each of us. But I guess we'll figure out how we're going to break it up. But
I haven't signed us up yet. I need to.
Oh, come on, man.
I need to.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I will. Y'all just let me know when y'all are ready to split the cost, and I'll put your name in the hat.
So. I'm ready to go. You ready to go, Billy?
I'm ready. My bank's not ready just yet.
All right, y'all. If y'all, our team is going to go in as the Christian Trail Bros to this relay in Dallas. And so if y'all want to donate to us to go, then I don't know, message me on Facebook or something. I'll give you something. I'll give you a Venmo or a Cash App link.
Spot.
If it is, and if we do, if we are, if someone does cover our race and entry fee, we will preach the gospel while we're running the relay. How do you like that? It'll be like a charity kind of thing.
I love it, dude.
So what is Lanute exactly?
Oh, it's a 4 mile loop in Dallas around a hiking trail. And you just run around this 4 mile loop for 3 hours or 6 or 9 hours, and you run around it over and over and over, and they raise money for Bibles to be donated to places in the world where there aren't any. And yeah, it's just a fun, good Christian trail race. So honestly, I would like to see our community there, because I know we get pretty consistent listeners on these podcasts. So if you are a Christian trail runner, meet us there at the Lanute. That'd be cool. We're going to be there. Our team name is going to be called Christian Trail Bros. So
it's going down in Lanute.
Be there, be square. Yeah, that's what I'm training for, man. I'm training for the Lanute. Y'all are talking about, you know, Ash is talking about a world record mile. You're talking about, you know, winning UTMB, Billy.
Oh, no,
I'm just trying
man.
To run the Lanute, man. I'm trying to run around a loop for 3 hours. That's all I'm trying to train it for.
Man, I can't even leave the country. This Christian trail bro is still on probation.
That's funny, bro. Oh,
so that's
snap.
It.
One of these guys on the front page of this race for the Lanute, he's one of the guys we caught him cheating at one of our races.
Oh, that's ugly.
He got first place at a 50K race we put on, but then we found out he cheated. And
is he involved with the race?
He's on the front. No, he's not involved. He's just running it.
Oh, it's just a picture.
Yeah, it's just a picture of him. Anyways.
I just want to bring something out real quick, because nobody can see our video. You know what I mean? They can just hear our audio. But, dude, Asher's a beast. The homie's grubbing every time we pull the pod. I got to bring it out in the open. Homie is not just eating, not just snacking. The homie's putting down meals. That's pretty hard to do.
Hey, and he's doing it while he's on the beach usually too.
Oh, yeah. Out here at the beach, just grubbing, doing the podcast with y'all. Yeah.
Umbrella, legs up, cantaloupe squares in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't lie. I ate 3/4 of a pizza just now, and I'm about to start snacking on some chips. But, man, I just got my double in, and I need those calories, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
Whew.
My training is starving myself. See if I can still run.
I guess that's a way to go about it.
When we interviewed, what's his face? The only guy we've ever interviewed on the Christian Trail Bros podcast. His name is slipping. Mike McKnight. He did 100 miles and no calories.
Oh, snap. This just came to my memory. This just came to my mind. Ryan.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm running the Oklahoma City Marathon, and I like look next to me. He's right next to me. He's like, "Hey, bro, I love the Christian Trail Bros podcast." And I'm like, "Where'd you come from, bro? You don't live in Oklahoma."
Oh, small world, bro. There's probably
talking about Ryan Hill?
No, it was a different Ryan Roberts.
Ryan Roberts, okay.
There's probably 10,000 people at the Oklahoma City Marathon.
22.
And you find him, huh?
22,000, and I see the two people I wanted to see. My manager from work was at the finish line. Thousands of people. And him, like, we're running the same pace. They called me to pace it, so I'm doing a 3:30 pace group. And he's just, like, doing the same pace. And I looked over, like, what? He called me, he's like, or he messaged me, he's like, "This is the only race I'll be able to beat you at." I was like, "I don't believe that." The way I get injured, there will be plenty more.
So did you end up pacing everybody at 3:30?
Man.
Uh-oh.
So it's me and another person. I'm not going to mention who it is, but it was her first marathon. And she got called to pace. Now, she's done ultra marathons, but she's never done like a road marathon. And she cramped up at mile 16. And I was like, and I think that my GPS was messed up and I was going a little too fast.
Uh-oh.
So I'd look behind me and I had like a couple hundred people behind me in the beginning.
Dude.
And me and her both were holding our flags, pacing. I look behind me. She's gone, and all the people are gone. I'm the only one running.
No.
Really, I was going to say, dude, I saw your Strava, your post, the 330, and I saw your miles from early on, and it was like, literally, Briston, it was like, whoop, like in terms of pace, and then at about mile 16 or whatever you said, you just dropped back down. And you hit 330 perfectly, though, because you ran those slow miles in the middle. But, dude, I was like, I know he went out way too fast and all those people dropped off.
I felt so bad, but I'm sorry, everybody. If anybody's listening that ran that race and it was in my pace group, I'll do better next year.
Well, you did hit 330 on the dot, like 330.04 on the dot. So yeah, that's pretty good. Awesome.
Yeah, I went from like 730 miles to like 830 miles.
Yeah, bro. You had like a 540 mile pace in here. Everyone's trying to just run 757. And you got like all these 7 minute miles. Oh man, that's funny. Nope, I know who to call to pace a race.
Yeah, if you want to go faster.
That's funny.
Oh, well, one guy stayed with me the entire time, and he had never ran a marathon before. He had never ran even more than a 5K or something like that. And we were like mile 24, and he's like, he's not even really looking tired. And I was like, hey, bro, you don't have to follow me. Like, he's like, oh, but you're my pacer. I'm like, yeah, but you can, if you can go faster, go faster. And he's like, oh, okay, bye. So he takes off.
That's funny, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we all had a good 2 weeks of training for our up and coming stuff. So good to hear.
Yep.
Good to hear. One thing I wanted to talk about, and y'all can jump in, but I have been reading in the Word lately, and something that I've really been enjoying and doing is just like hopping into the New Testament and just reading anything Jesus says, really just reading anything in the New Testament, and just going back and reminding yourselves, because whenever I first came to Christ a couple years ago, I read the whole New Testament, and then I read the whole Bible in a year last year. But when I got back to the New Testament, there's things in there that Jesus said that I forgot. I just completely forgot. I was like, oh, like, you know, it was like a kind of like a convicting reminder of some things. So I've got to where now, like, I'm, you know, I'll hop in the New Testament, kind of read like a couple chapters or a chapter or something and remind myself some things. But I think something that's really been popping out for me lately is the parable of the light stand. Are y'all familiar with it?
No.
You're not? Asher, you?
I'm familiar, but give us a refresher.
Okay, let me give you a refresher. So I want to pull up the exact verse because I think it makes it a little better than just reading off my memory. So let me pull it up here. I think it's John 14:26. So let me get to it real quick. But this has been, no, that's not it. It's Matthew 5:15. This has been like a reoccurring verse for me for the past several weeks. And I'm going to read it for you guys. It says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." And so if you didn't catch that or understand it, basically Jesus says, when you have a light or when you have a lampstand, you don't put a bowl on top of it and cover the light. It's useless. There's no point. What you do is you put the light on a very high place to where it can shine the most. And that way everyone in the house can get light and see. And basically, from my understanding, well, really, let me follow verse 16 because it'll help give some context. So Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus is basically saying, like, each one of us are our own lampstands. And the house all is anywhere we go. So anywhere we go is the house and people in the house. So anytime you interact with people in the world, those are people in the house. And he's saying, don't hide the light. Let the light shine on them. And the light is basically the good news of Jesus and our good deeds. This specifically says good deeds, like the good things that we do. And the reason we should let our light shine is so that people will glorify our Father in heaven. And it's just been a constant verse that's really been jumping out at me of allowing our the greatest news in the universe to shine that news and to operate in the Holy Spirit and allow the good works of the Spirit to be shown or shined on anybody we're around. And so I think it's very important that we're always letting the light shine and never intentionally covering it, if that makes sense. So we're never trying to hide it.
Briston.
What?
I don't know if I talked about this the last podcast or not. Maybe it was a different time. Did I mention going to a new Bible study?
No, you didn't.
Okay, so this kind of falls into what was said to me. All right, it's kind of weird. I don't really like this, but I'm going to share it. I feel weird about sharing it. So my prayers have been lately, show me what your purpose is and help me to be, just help me to be okay with it when you do reveal your purpose, you know, slowly. Just let me not run the other way, you know, just like, because, and it's weird how, I don't know if you say the prayer was answered so quickly.
Yeah.
This is a weird deal. So I met my girlfriend's parents and they go to a church that's right by my house. And oh snap, y'all still there?
I am. What's up?
Yeah, okay. Y'all are still good.
Yeah. So the church is right by my house. There was a Wednesday night Bible study, and I was like not wanting to go. I was like, I got my church that I go to on Sunday. I'm good. And I was like, I gotta go. So I called my buddy at work. I need to like phone a friend. I said, bro, will you come with me to work? Or he doesn't even go to church. And I was like, bro, will you come with me? Cause I feel weird. I'm like scared to go to this new church. And we'll go to the Bible study. All the doors are locked. So we're running around the building, all the door. We tried like three different doors and they're all locked. And then I found one that was open. It was like this weird little back door. And we walk in and there's like five people there at the Bible study. And they're all older, and I just hopped in there. I was like, "Hey, what's up, everybody? Best day ever!" Because I'm nervous, so I just like people mistake my nervousness for confidence, which is, man, it's awful sometimes. But you know, I shake the hands. We go over the Bible study, and we're doing something fruit of the Spirit, and. It's exactly what they're talking about, is letting your light shine. And I walked in and there's a gentleman. You guys will be better at helping me with this. A gentleman, he said his gift is relaying messages to people that like that God is giving him to other people. Prophecy. I don't know what that's called.
It's called prophecy.
He's like, and he like walked in, or sat down. He's like, you are bold, or he's like, you are meant. What's the five folds? I don't know what that is either.
Yeah. Five. So the fivefold ministry, basically within the church, there's five different ways the church operates. You have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, and they all have different purposes, but they all work together for the same purpose.
Wow. So I'm praying on this, right? And I'm praying on this. And I'm like, this is the weirdest situation. Like my girls, parents, church, and I'm with a buddy that doesn't even like really go to church. And we're like, it's just a weird Wednesday night. And he says that, and he's like, you were meant for ministry, blah, blah, blah. He's like, boom, you were, he's like, you came in here and there was like a thing, like a boldness or something. And I was like immediately uncomfortable and my stomach felt like I had to take a boo-boo. And there is people that have been telling me that in my life prior to this incident. And I'm trying to run from it. Oh, I'm trying to run from it. And then I read like, so I've been just reading straight out of Romans. I've been reading Romans over and over and over again. Every morning I wake up, I read Romans. And I don't know why I'm reading Romans, but I'm doing it. And in the footnotes, this is not even scripture, but the way they relay it in the footnotes is, says you are free to choose between two masters, but you are not free to adjust the consequences of your choice. And I'm like, ah. And they have a discipleship program. And I chose to run that marathon instead of start my first day of discipleship program this past Sunday. Talk about some gut-wrenching conviction. I've been like putting my hat down real low, like hopefully God can't see me. So that's what I got.
Dang, you can't hide from the Lord, dude. What within the fivefold ministry did he say specifically what he feels like God's calling you to?
He did not.
Interesting. Yeah, man. I'll say, you know, within the fivefold ministry, for me, I feel like the Lord's called me to be an evangelist. That's someone who proclaims the good news to people that are lost. And I learned that by just asking the Lord in prayer, and then also he like put that desire on my heart as well. So that's how I know that. But whenever it comes to prophecy, so basically prophets are all throughout the Bible, old and new. And basically, you know, people, they're praying and they feel like God tells them something about someone else. And so we can all hear from God, right? The Bible says the sheep hear my voice when Jesus is talking. And so we can all hear the voice of Jesus. And so sometimes modern day prophets or people who give away prophecies, the only difference between you and them is they're praying about what they want, what they, God speaks to them or Jesus speaks to them about somebody else. Right. Because they either ask or the Lord just does it on them. And the difference between that and prayer is just regular prayer. It's you and the Lord talking with each other. Whereas prophecy, it's from to one person to another, if that makes sense. So it's a very cool thing. And I think it's a cool gift that some people walk in. But that's pretty cool, though, that he did that, because, you know, words like that are very encouraging and it helps build up the church and helps direct people. And God can answer prayers through it. So that's cool, man, that happened. Yeah, dude, I mean, I would say, like, just because you messed up once, though, you know, dust yourself off, get back and go out another chance you got. The Bible says, you know, a righteous man falls five times, it gets back up five times. So
I just don't think coincidence, because I'm very, very, I'm not trusting. I struggle with trust with other human beings. And I'm like, maybe he's wrong. And maybe this is, maybe God just wants me to run ultra marathons every weekend. Yeah. That's probably not the case.
Probably not. Usually it's stuff that you don't want to do. You know, look at Jonah and the whale. You know, Jonah did not want to preach to Nineveh, yet God really persisted that he did. So,
a comment I want to make on the whole lampstand thing is that analogy is kind of twofold, which I think is consistent with sort of how Jesus preaches. You know, there's more meaning than just what is at face value. So I was thinking about it. Like, what does a lampstand do in a room? Right. So in this context, Jesus is like, well, your faith or the word of God or the gospel, you should want it to be the most prevalent thing in your life to the point where everybody in the room can see it, or everybody in your life can see that, oh, Jesus has had an effect on your life in this way. And it's clear through everything that you do. But the other thing, which I think is super cool, is the lampstand. If you think about it for yourself, it sheds its light. So your faith, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ sheds a light on everything else in the room. So beforehand, when that lamp is off or it's covered, it's all unknown. Everything in the room is unknown. It's not shedding light on anything. We are in the dark. And so I would argue that that is very indicative of where we are whenever, you know, we're not walking with the Lord or prior to us being saved and baptized. And then whenever we do get saved, baptized, we're walking with the Lord, his light, his word shines out on all of those areas in our life that were in the darkness beforehand and makes them clear. So like for my life, for example, or I mean, we can use this for each one of us for running, right? Beforehand, running might have been in the dark for me, you know? It might have been like, oh, well, it's just a pursuit of mine. It's not an idol to me. It's this, it's that. I don't prioritize it in this way. So like, prior to me being convicted about running as an idol, I would argue that it was very much in the dark. But eventually, because this is how faith works, and this is how Jesus works. He works in God. He works in his own, on his own timeline. Eventually, the light got shown on running. It was like, hey, now that you know the word of God, now that you know the priority that we should make Jesus, or that you should make me in your life, you can tell that thing is out of the dark and it's in the full light. And you can tell it exists over other things that are more important, i.e., Jesus Christ, God, the word of God. So I think that's the big thing I take away from it is, once we have that light that's able to be shown out, and you could even use this for your example, Billy, like now you're on this walk with God. Brisson and I might have been on that walk a little longer than you, but probably not much longer. And it's like, all right, well, he's starting to convict me in these different ways. The light is starting to be shown on these areas of my life where I could probably be giving up a little more to him. And dude, I think that's the other thing, is it never ends. It never ends. So I had somebody recently in my family who is kind of going through a tough time, or just had like an unexpected thing happen to them. And I think God uses those big unexpected things, especially for faith-driven people, to turn them, to shine a light on an area of their life that they can improve, or that they need to trust in God more in, right? So that's my two cents on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
That was strong.
Thank you.
That was way strong.
It's been festering.
Well, Asher, or not Asher, Billy, honestly, going back to you, and the Lord wanting you to shine your light a little bit more, I can honestly see you doing ministry, dude. I work in a ministry. Seriously.
That's the last thing you wanted to hear.
I can see it, bro. Hey, Asher, is it just me or?
No, well, that's what I love. That's what I love about the church, too, is everybody can find a job where you can serve another person. Because I think that at the end of the day, that's what it is. Brisson being driven towards evangelism, that's serving his fellow man, his fellow woman in a way that they wouldn't otherwise get that service. But you see people helping out in a ton of ways. So Are you saying specifically evangelism, though?
No, I mean, I can see this dude preaching in prisons or something.
Hey, now.
My thing is, this is the thing that's kind of, well, it kind of sucks, but I freaking love people and I love community.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I may recharge at home by myself, you know what I mean? Like introverted or whatever. But when I'm out and I'm saying hi to everybody. I'm like, hey, I'm going to talk your ear off. I'm just going to just get after it. And I'm not using that for the glory of God. And in some ways, but like, it's just awkward.
You are, you might have just not had the opportunity to yet. So like, sorry to cut you off, but I want to say this, like, for myself, I feel like there are always those run-ins with people that aren't of faith where it's like, you know, they'll have a question about something off the wall. Like, I don't even know, man. You know, just like these little sins that people commit and they don't even realize that they're sinning. Like, I'm sure you've both seen that one evangelist that's super popular on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? He rides out on his bike to the beach and he interviews people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyways, he pretty much asks people, do you think you're a sinner? And pretty much everyone's like, oh, no, I'm a good person. Or do you think you're a good person? And then he serves to point out that everyone is a lying, stealing, thieving, adulterous, you know, person at heart. Like, we've all committed lies. We've all stolen something. We've all looked after somebody with lust. We've all done X, Y, Z. So we're all worthy of the, you know, of the pit, of the grave. But what, you know, what you can do in your case or what I've done in my case is like, some of those things will come up. It'll be like, here, you know, here's my little sin. And I'll be like, well, you know, this is what I believe. This is what I think is going on in the world. This is why I believe in a creator. So it doesn't necessarily have to be you going out and being like, guys, I just want to start this conversation by saying I am a Bible believing Christian Jesus follower. You know? It can be more organic than you know how some people approach it. And it all depends on your level of comfortability. You never know, man. You start one step at a time and eventually you'll be like Briston out on the street corner preaching the gospel, or we're going to be preaching the gospel at the races. You know,
I don't stand on the street corner preaching.
All I'm saying is you've done it before. Like, and that takes
No, I haven't.
Well, maybe not. Okay. Where have you then?
It's always been one-on-one.
Okay.
Yeah. And usually, honestly, I found it to be most effective when you build a relationship with that person and then y'all get into the conversation nonchalantly. Like, it's super, you just kind of, like, you're talking and then it might get brought up or something. Like, it's not like, oh, hey, I'm a Christian. Have you heard of Jesus? Like, it's like, not like that. I feel like it's most effective whenever it's kind of just like gets brought up, if that makes sense. Yeah.
No, that happened at the running store 2 days ago. I was sitting there and I mentioned something about the Christian Trail Bros. And he's like, you do a podcast? And I was like, well, I'm part of a podcast. And I was like, and he was like, what's it called? And I was like, I was almost nervous to say it because I was like thinking in my head, I'm like, have I done anything in the past that would like conflict with me saying I'm a Christian? Like, you know what I mean? It's almost sometimes like I've tried to, and I told him Christian Trail Bros, and he's like, okay, I'll look into it or whatever. But I was like, I'm always like, sometimes I'm like, you got to check myself. I was trying to share the gospel a little bit at work the other day with somebody, and they're like, I could kind of tell they were looking at me like, weren't you that guy that was like cussing like yesterday? And I was like,
Yep.
It still doesn't like change the fact that I'm changed, but they don't know who I used to be. And like, and that you can't use that forever. Like y'all were talking about it, you're always changing and there's always going to be new opportunities to shine the light. And like, there's always going to be stuff that you need to work on. And I'm like, I would always like, no one remembers who I used to be and who I am now. Like, people used to come into the prisons and preach, and I'd sit there and be like, well, the only reason we went to church is so we didn't have to be locked down. So I'd sit in the church. I'm like, all right. And this guy's like, I used to be a drug addict and kill people, and now I'm set free. And I was like, huh, this guy's a joke. And I remember those feelings and the way I felt. And I see these people when I'm like, hey, you know, like, this is what I believe. And they're like, you're a loser. And I'm like, ah, I just wish you knew. I wish I could just.
Yeah.
So what was it about your walk then that, like, I mean, you just saw you, I mean, you got to know for yourself. Oh, it was this slow process. And so it was like, it's, you got to ask yourself those questions. Not necessarily what convinced me of the gospel, but what in my life happened. And I would say, I mean, for me, it was largely experiences with God, like across the board. You know, it was it experienced one person here and experienced one person there. So I think even if you have the opportunity to be one of those one people, it's like, why wouldn't you? Because you know how you got there. Now you're even recalling, you know, you being in the prison, and you're like, well, I still remember those times that they came and preached the gospel or spoke about the Bible. People remember that kind of thing, man. And then whenever you're there in your shoes,
They're
they
gonna
do
be like, oh, I remember that dude,
it. Right,
Billy. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
yeah, man. Yeah, it's important to that we like really walk in the fruits of the spirit. Because you just mentioned this, Billy, and I'm not saying this to get on to you or anything or like push you down or nothing, but like you said, like you were trying to share Jesus, and they were like, "Weren't you the guy cussing like yesterday?" And I think there's like a verse about to not do things that may lead others astray. And so the way we conduct ourselves, like our fruit is what comes out of us. It's what we say and what we do. Okay, that's our fruit. It's our works, basically. And so if you're walking in the spirit, because you can choose what you want to walk in every day. Like you can choose if you want to walk in the flesh or the spirit. And if you're walking in the spirit, you're gonna have the fruits of the spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, you're gonna have the fruit of the flesh. And so, you know, there's people like that probably messed up your witness a little bit because they were like, you're not much different than me, bro. Like, I don't want to be a Christian, you know? And but when they see someone who's truly like set apart in a way and different, which you are, Billy. You're light, like you're a very positive person. But when they see someone who's very set apart and different than the rest of the world, it makes them wonder like what's different about that person, if that makes sense. And so I think that's why it's important to intentionally choose every day when we wake up, hey, let's walk in the spirit. Because like I remember when I got first saved, after about a year, I was running with the guys on the cross country team. And we were all talking, and I slipped up and said a cuss word. It wasn't like a big one, but I slipped up and I said a cuss word. And immediately, I was like, "What?" Like I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna ruin my witness doing this." You know what I mean? And just because it's such a like, it's a just unclean language, and you wouldn't expect that to come out of somebody who's supposed to be full of goodness, you know? So, I can see that, Billy, and I've been there. So I know what it's like.
It's what you're saying about when you meet somebody whose like fruit is like when their light is shining. Like the weirdest thing happened today. I switched shifts, so now I'm no longer early in the morning anymore. I got a somewhat of a like a pay raise thing and a different job now. So that's yeah, I'm broadening my horizons.
There you go.
I go in at 7 now,
What
but
time do you get off now?
right in time for this podcast.
Dude, I bet it's honestly Is that a blessing for you? I bet it is.
Definitely since summertime just started, I can get some runs in the morning and not be dying of heat exhaustion in the afternoon. It's
Sweet.
a blessing in disguise. I'm having a hard time adjusting. There will be good that comes from it, I'm sure.
Well, at least you don't got to wake up at what, 3, 4 in the morning anymore.
Well, I still do to go run,
Oh,
but
okay.
maybe five. But I'm seeing this guy, and this happens to me all the time. I see somebody and I immediately think something that's not true. And I don't like this about myself, and I write them off. There's a guy that rides a piece of equipment through our warehouse every day, and I see him like mumbling to himself. He's like, mumble, 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 mumble. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you like, I was like, are you special? Are you like, I thought there was something wrong. Like he had a defect or something. Like he was maybe, I don't know. And I thought this for like 6 months now. I kept seeing him ride through and I never talked to him ever. He just ride through the warehouse and I never see him again. And come by the next day and ride his little train through the warehouse. Why? I was in the office today and I was discussing something with my manager and that guy came in. And my manager's like, says, Bill, this is so-and-so, brother in Christ. And I was like, what? And he was like, and he like showed me, he's like, check this out. He's like, I can start any verse and he'll finish it. And he'd just be like, and he not just finish the sentence, but like finish the entire chapter. Like what? Word for word. And I was like, whoa. And he's like, and I realized what he was doing on that equipment is he was praying.
Dude,
that's so funny, dude.
I'm sitting here hating on this dude, and he's over there like praying and reciting scripture and probably singing hymns. And I'm like, oh.
Hey, Paul does say pray without ceasing.
Man. He brought up something. He said, you see all these guys and all these guys in the shop talking about, oh, Elliot and Jim Bob has got 6 points and touchdown here, and everyone's got their rosters and they know what everybody's, how many points they have and what school they went to and how many kids they have. And he's like, I just figured I'll just do that with the Bible.
Like, awesome.
Homie dropped a hammer on me.
Oh man. Well, that's cool, Billy.
Yeah.
Billy, last thing I wanted to say on that is like, yeah, some of those people, they might remember you cussing, you know, yesterday, a week ago, whatever it was. And same for me. Like, I even look at my past, high school especially, and in a shameful way, you know, look at my past. I'm like, man, you know, some people know I've done some pretty abysmal things, and even my really good friends. But what's more powerful than them knowing those things that you've done in your past is seeing the fruits that you're producing now that you're saved. So like, dude, if you, I promise you, you'll run into these situations, you know, with your coworkers that have seen you cuss or whatever. Whenever you have the opportunity to do something that's set apart from the world. So like, I mean, we've all had these situations when we're in groups of friends and people are cussing, telling crazy stories, you know, nasty stories sometimes. And we have the opportunity to remove ourselves or choose not to speak or, you know, just kind of set ourselves apart, right? That is what's more powerful than them knowing about any of your sins, right? Because then they're like, okay, well, this guy, he's genuinely convicted of this Jesus thing. And then that gets people interested and the rest is history.
Yeah. You know? Asher's dropping hammers now.
Yeah. That's what it is, man.
Dang it. Part of me still wants to be a little bad, though.
Just a little bad.
Just a little bad.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, good stuff, guys. We're about at our time limit here.
Yep.
Ooh, I got one thing.
Go for it.
I want to put this out there. If anybody's been on the Facebook group chat or whatever it's called, the forum, I am so sorry because I have been a ghost. I'm really struggle with social media and really internet in general. I'm kind of an old man, but if anyone has been talking on there or had any questions for me or just been talking to a wall, I apologize.
Yeah, you're good. We had Stephanie drop a question in there. She has her first 50K May 4th and this weekend. And so she was asking about like shoes and toes. Her toes are sore and stuff. So she's asking questions. But I commented, and then Matthew, he's been there since the beginning. Matthew hopped in there too. So it's good. But yeah, we do have a Christian Trail Bros forum. If you want to ask questions, give us topics, whatever, share a testimony, hop in the Christian Trail Bros forum on Facebook. We got 29 members in there right now.
Sheesh.
We haven't had any new people. Actually, yeah, we did get a new person. We got Lane. I think it's Divin. Lane Divin. He joined last week. We had Martin, who joined 11 hours ago. We had Mark Busbridge join a week ago. And that's all of our new members. So,
dang, welcome, you guys. Thanks for listening.
For joining, y'all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Word.
But anywho, well, all right. Asher, you want to pray us out?
I think it's you, brother. I think it was me, then Billy, then you.
Oh, okay.
Look at that ball head.
BHB, ball head and Billy.
Pray us out.
All right, let's go. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful, wonderful day. Thank you for this fellowship. And I pray that those who listen, I pray that they'll receive a touch from the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they be fed spiritually through this podcast, and that they will eat not only a physical bread, but the word of God through this podcast. And I pray a hedge of safety over everyone listening to this right now. And I pray that they'll be safe, their families will be safe, and their homes will be safe. And I pray that everyone here will be a seed that grows into a multitude. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Carla's got a word. Go for it, Car.
Click the not recording. It's recording.
Oh, is it not for the podcast? Oh, it's for y'all. It's off the podcast. Anyways, all right. So... thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see y'all 2 weeks on Wednesday. 2 weeks from now on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to see us this weekend, come out to Quanah, Texas at Copper Break State Park. We're going to be there Friday and Saturday and Sunday, some of us. So, anyways, with that being said, y'all got anything else?
That's it. I love y'all.
Yep.
All right.
Peace.
See ya.